Hello. Hello. How's it going? That's all three of you. That's good. I'm glad you guys are all good too. So, how we doing today, church? That's good. You know, this morning I'm standing up here and it's just every time. It was such an amazing worship set. And you know what was really awesome? Jen's solo was so good. Jen's solo was so good. Was it not so good? Okay, let me just point something out here. This morning I said, Pastor Jason is a great worship leader, and everyone was very excited about me saying that. Now I say, Jen, you did a great job at soloist. Now here's the reality of tonight, really simply. Power of unity, speaking positive, affirmation, and stuff like that. Every time I point to Pastor Jason or Jen or anybody else that I would point at, you know what I'm pointing at? God's work in you. Thought that would have a better reaction than that, but that's okay. That's why I sat there for a little bit. I'm thinking, maybe they get it yet? Okay, well, let's go through tonight. Let's go through tonight's stuff. You'll get there. Don't worry. I'll catch you up on what I'm talking about. But here's the reality is that if we're going to have unity, it has nothing to do with you. Unity has nothing. Nothing to do with you. You're not going to have the power to do it. If you are trying to bring unity, guess what? You're trying too hard for something that you're not called to do. You're not called to bring unity on the church. You are not called to bring unity on the church. You're called to do other things, but we're not called to bring this unity on the church. So I got a passage here, I'm going to pray. I need to pray before we begin. That's just what I do. Dear God, I thank you so much for tonight. I thank you for this beautiful worship time that we had together, Lord. We are just so delighted to lift our hearts to you. It is amazing to just stop and reflect upon your heart for us. And even now, I just call, Lord God, let me see your eyes tonight as I speak. Lord God, I am so excited about the idea that you are here walking in this journey with me every single day of my life. We are so excited that you are here walking this journey with each and every one of us. And I just thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to be here together, Lord God, because it's such a great experience to come together as a church, to hear from your heart, to be able to embrace and feel the manifestation of your spirit. Just the making known and the presence of your spirit on our hearts. So I just thank you and give you the glory for everything that you've already done tonight. And I pray, Lord God, that as I speak, I just pray that the words that you would have to deposit in the hearts of the people that are here tonight, I pray that you would do so, Lord God. And those words that don't need to be there, I pray, would escape us quickly. And I pray, Lord God, that your will would be done as we enter into this time together. And I pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. So, tonight, I'm going to start with a passage. I am going to give you a lot of scripture. Is that okay tonight? I'm going to give you a good amount. Me and Carson are excited about this. You will all come along. So Ephesians 4, I'm going back to it. If you did not hear this morning's message and you want to hear this, you need to, because here's another example of God at work in us. Carson, you did a great job this morning. It was amazing. God did some really cool things this morning in my heart, in everyone's hearts. So that was really, really cool. But if you need to hear about what affirmation looks like, that's where you need to go, because it was there. And we're going to talk a little bit about that, but not very much. So if you want to go back and hear that, that's really, really important. So we're going to go to Ephesians 4, and we're just going to read 1 to 8 here. It says this: Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to leave a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves unified in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body, one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father, who is over all and in all and living through all. However, he has given each one of us a special gift through the glory, through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scripture says, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. I'm going to stop right there. When I was a kid growing up, I grew up in Bruderheim. That was the small town that I lived in. When I was in grades kindergarten through to grades five, I walked into school, and school is a place where we can all congregate together. We meet our close friends. We meet our first enemies. You know what I'm talking about? But we run into situations that are good and bad. We meet people that are of like mind and people that are not of like mind. And as we walk through our school experience, we have pros and cons. Now, when I was a kid growing up and I was in kindergarten to grade five, I was picked on pretty badly. There was lots of moments and lots of tough situations. There were circumstances that I walked through. There was troubles that I faced. And even to this day, there are some scars in my life that still show up as I move on. I can tell you that school is not the only place in which that can happen. Tonight I'm talking about the idea and the power of unity, but can I tell you that sometimes unity is meant to happen in this place, but can I tell you that sometimes within the church, it's just like that school place that you're in sometimes? There are troubles. There are times when people have differing opinions and differing perspectives. There are times when people have differing opinions on what should be saying and what should be done in the church. There are young people that say, why are we getting so old? And there are old people saying, why are we getting so young? And everybody, for different reasons, said amen. You got to laugh with me a little bit tonight. You got to laugh with me a little bit tonight. Because I feel like tonight, what I'm preaching about is not something that we can easily attain. It's not something that I feel like we're going to come to easily. It's something that we need to come to without us getting in the way. Can I tell you that the power of unity, again, has nothing to do with you? Nothing to do with you. In this passage, we talk about the unity in the body. It's talking about something that we're going to look a little bit closer at in 1 Corinthians 12, but it's talking about how we got that. It's talking about Jesus and Jesus being the one that comes. And as he ascended into the heights, the Holy Spirit came upon us and we were given gifts and each person was given these gifts. And you know what's amazing? I'm going to say it one more time this morning. Pastor Jason sang something over and over and over again. And I just wanted to come up as soon as we began the worship service and say, we're not playing. We're not playing today. We are so, so in love with God. We're willing to just wait on two words and wait for something to happen in the church service and wait for the Holy Spirit to come, that we're willing to just tell him over and over again what we feel about him. And it happened. Carson and I both had an experience today. We just felt that. It came. And Jen, when she sang, again, both of them, I point them out. And I point them out not for their purposes, but for God, so that I can say, God, look what you created. Isn't that amazing? If I was being crazy enough this morning, I would have came up and I would have said the very simple words. I'm so glad that you're here because you're in for a treat tonight. But my very specific heart would not allow me to say something like that. But if I was to point myself out, that is the real thing, is that as God works in me and people get to see my giftings at work in me, they're in for a treat. Tonight, as we got to listen to this worship, this morning, as we got to listen to the worship, we were in for a treat because God was at work in some of us up front here. And that's what's happening in this passage. And we're going to move on. We're going to move into something else. Now, I said before that we do not possess what's needed in order to bring unity. in and of ourselves, by ourselves. We can't do it. So I'm going to go to John, and we're going to talk about what's needed first. I found this very important, or this very interesting thought. There's a, in I think it was Merriam-Webster's dictionary, it says this. It says this about unity. It says the quality or state of not, the quality or state of not being multiple. That's what unity means, of not being multiple. Now, what that means is that the quality and state of not being multiple means that it's not Jared that makes unity happen. It's not actually Jared that is unity. It's also not 80. It's not 80 that makes unity. And that's something very important, that when I read that, it's not about each individual one of us doing something by ourselves to get something done. And as the church, sometimes, I'm sure you've noticed this, I've done this myself, I have been chasing my tail around trying to do fun things and exciting things for youth, and come to the conclusion that if I'm the only one doing it and we're not doing it together collectively, especially in the team that we have now in youth ministry, that I am just being a multiple of what unity is not. And I get less done. I get less done. I feel like tonight I'm going to circle around a little bit, find some rabbit trails. So just bear with me as I do that. We're going into John 15. Jesus tells us something very important about us and him. We all know this passage. We've heard it and read it before, but here we go. It says this. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off each branch of mine that does not produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Each branch, or such branches, are gathered into a pile and burned. But if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as my Father has loved me. Remain in me. When you obey my commands, you remain in my love, just as I obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way that I loved you. See, it comes back and it talks about the idea. And we think often, we're like, what commands? Oh my goodness. Let's read the first 14 chapters. But it's really, really simple. It's really, really simple. It says, this is my commandment. Love each other the same way I have loved you. You want to hear how you love someone just like Jesus loved us? This is it. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends, for you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves, because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends, since I have told you everything the Father told me. You do not choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my commandment, love each other. Jesus gave us three words. And I think on the back of these three words, on the back of this simple idea, is what unity looks like. On the back of this is what unity, in fact, looks like. Because if we can actually take love for what it is and what it should be, we will actually become unified in and of each other. Because if I love you and you love me, I'm going to take care of you. And we're going to look at this in 1 Corinthians 13. But very simply, God is telling us to love each other. I had a really good thought just now that popped into my head, and it just popped right out, and I don't want to miss it. Welcome to one of my preaches. This is what Garston loves. I'm going to come back to that because it was just so good. I should have stopped. It's all good. I'm going to move on. So we have this passage, and it talks about the idea. And did you know that unless you are connected to the vine, you cannot produce fruit? Very simply, if you're not connected to the vine, you cannot produce fruit. How do you stay connected to the vine? You remain in his love. You continue to love one another. And how do you get connected to the vine? You can't. In fact, as Gentiles, we are grafted into this vine as we accept Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior. I'm a Gentile. But can I tell you that in order for us to understand and to be unified in this, we need to be connected to the vine? Because if we're not connected to the vine, we can't produce fruit. And do you know what the fruit actually is? The fruit is really simple. When I think about this idea, I think about the Father. And the Father is the one that comes and prunes this wonderful vine. And as he comes in and he prunes each one, he prunes back the ones that are healthy and he takes off the ones that aren't. Can I tell you, just like I told you in the school analogy between the school and the church, here's the reality is that those that are inside of this vine that are not producing fruit, you know what they can cause? Decay and disease. In a circumstance when somebody is not connected to the vine nor producing fruit nor walking in the will of God, that can produce problems for the vine. And can I tell you that as I point to Jen and point to Jason and point to anyone else, I guarantee you I can find something in you that's great that God is using you for. I get excited about this stuff. You know why? Because a gift that's in my heart is exhortation. I love loving. I said that and it was kind of funny, I guess, yeah. But I love finding good attributes about individuals, and I love pointing them out. But can I tell you that sometimes it's fake? Sometimes that's fake. I don't want to get into gifts right now. Yeah, okay. Sometimes it's fake. Because sometimes in my life, as I go through and I love on people, if I become distracted or distraught or disappointed or take away and move away from the vine, separate myself from that vine, I quickly stop bearing fruit. And I quickly get some thorns on me. And that's what ends up happening. So I stop doing what God has called me to do. So as I point out Jen or Jason or Pastor Karsten, and I point out these individuals, I'm pointing to what God has produced. Because as we look at this beautiful vine, that beautiful vine is made for the glory of God. There's not a single vine keeper that's not going, look at my beauty. Yeah, that was kind of funny. Look at this beautiful thing and look at the things that are going on within it and look at how the intricacies are and look at what's happened within this. And I'm sure God just smiles upon these things and sees the glory of what's going on as he prunes and he plays with and he maneuvers and he removes and he takes things out of it because he wants us to be a visible light to each other. That's what unity is. That's some of the power of unity. You see, power of unity is both giving love to each other, showing love for each other, because that's what God wants us to do. That's part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, is love. Every time we love, those grapes get just so beautiful. Them some nice grapes. I think they're red, maybe, red grapes. Those are the red grapes. Don't take that to the bank. Don't use that in doctrine. You will disunify in bad ways. This is not a good idea. The grapes can be whatever color you want them to be. I don't care. But the reality is that if we are as a church going to be unified, we have to be unified in one thing. And it's not that we're great. It's not that we have amazing screens on the wall or beautiful things that are being hung from this place. Though they're helpful tools and they're useful to us and we find them to be amazing, those are not the glory of God. Do you know what the glory of God is? The glory of God is Jen and Jason and Pastor Carson and myself, any one of us at work in the giftings that God has given to us. If you like that, say amen. Good, I'm glad two or three did. Whew, that was close. I need to move on. And I said before, the interesting thing is things get pruned off and taken off the vine and they don't become part of the vine or they're not connected to the vine. They produce and they create problems. Can I tell you again, looking at this vine, every single part of it, the branch is not what makes, is not what you talk about. We don't come up to a wonderful, do I keep saying wine? Because I mean vine. Sorry, vine. It's like one word, one letter off of the alphabet. But every time we come up to the vine, we don't come up to the vine and we say, ooh, that is a pretty branch. Do you see that one pretty branch? That is a healthy branch right there. That one branch makes this whole thing better. No, we look at the branches and we see it as a whole. And because we all are branches, we are meant to glorify God. We are meant to give glory to God and see his workmanship, see his masterpiece in all of us. I don't know how many times I need to say this, but the really simple fact is that it's not about you or me. Being unified is not about you or me. It's not even about this church. It has nothing to do with this church. Did you know that being unified is all about giving God the glory? It's all about showing God the glory. If we're actually going to be the branches that we're supposed to be in this vine, set it right, yes. That if we are going to be the branches in this vine, we are meant to just show how beautiful Christ is and his example is. Let's go a little bit further. Let's go into something else. First Corinthians 12 we're going to go to here. 1 Corinthians 12. Says this, verse 1. Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives to us, because they wanted to know, I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. Can I tell you that there are people out there? I'm just going to stop here. Do you know that there are, everybody's heads looked up. That was great. That there are people out there that are crazy gifted that don't follow after Christ? Just need to stop and point this out. There are people out there that are crazy gifted that don't follow Christ. God is just, God's glory is dripping in what they can do because God created this. And just like the rest of us, they have crazy giftings in their life. But can I tell you that unfortunately they're not giving, God's not getting the glory? Can I tell you that sometimes even within my life, I'll be done a preach and I'll do good. I'm not saying that tonight is good. You can tell me that, or actually God can later. Don't tell me anything. But the reality is that we can be dripping in God's glory in what we're doing and do it for all the wrong reasons. When Paul says this, he says, I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know why he didn't want them to misunderstand this? Because they're going and they're praying for these people and they're beginning to experience tongues. And this one man comes up and he is a man that is a businessman. And he says, oh my goodness, if I got this gift, imagine what I could do, how I could profit from this. He got himself in a lot of trouble for this. A lot of trouble. You see, just because you're gifted, just because you have mad skills, just because you're really good at stuff, doesn't necessarily mean that you're giving God any glory nor doing anything that you're supposed to be doing. And Paul was saying, you know, you've heard about these special abilities. these special giftings. And I'm sure he's talking to these people going, you need to really know that this has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with you. And it's not your glory, it's God's glory. It's not what you've done. I just need to keep saying this because our world today, where we are, it's like Paul needs to tell us this. He's saying, I don't want you to misunderstand this. Just because you're special doesn't mean it comes from you. Doesn't mean it comes from you. Anyways, back to it. Swept away by worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus. First indicator. If somebody is walking and speaking in the Spirit of God, they will not curse Jesus. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, there are different spiritual gifts, yes, but the same Spirit is the source of all of them. Just like Carson said this morning, the Spirit is the source of all of this, all of this. Sorry, I'm just trying to find my place. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. The spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. I can tell you that I'm blessed so often by people helping me. When people have words and pray over my life, there are so many moments where I've been able to just be filled and there's been water poured over my life because somebody has been obedient to God and using a gift and seeing what God is doing, discerning a word or doing something within my heart and over my circumstances and helping me. And in doing so, they've helped me to show God the glory in the end. It's happened many a time. But anyways, to one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise counsel. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So we're all given amazing gifts within ourselves as the Spirit leads and gives to us. And we see each one of these, and as we go through them, I can tell you that there's moments in my life where I've done something, and after I'm done, and this is the thing that we have to remember, this is how we stay connected to the vine, this is how we bear good fruit, is that when we're done administering a gift that we have in our lives, there's one thing that we need to be doing. Just simple, really, really simple. The second you're done administering a gift, I challenge you, and I'm not saying you don't, I'm just saying I didn't sometimes too, is that I sometimes give myself glory and get proud before I give God the glory and let him be proud of what he's done in me. That's the reality. Is that as we administer these things, we have to have the heart of humility, like it said before, and being humble in our lives means taking a step back and knowing where the source is, knowing who produced and is creating these things in our lives, because in doing so, when we come and we have our heart taken away from that and we go, God, I can't wait for you to do another crazy thing in me. Man, I'm good. We're missing it completely. We're really missing it. We're missing the opportunity to allow God to do what he's meant to do. And that is that when gifted people do things within our congregation, and if you're an exhorter and you begin to speak lively words over their life and you say, you're doing an amazing job, you should keep doing that. You know what it's going to do? You know what it did in my life? In kindergarten to grade 5, I got picked on every single day, give or take 380 days probably. I just made a number up. But can I tell you that I went to a Christian junior high as I went into junior high school? I had teachers pore over me and begin to see the things that I had and what I could do in my life. Can I tell you that sometimes the church can be the same as school, and I'm just going to keep saying that? But I had these teachers that spoke into my life, and these were very gifted and blessed teachers that had hearts of gold, and they were connected to the vine, I can tell you very specifically, because they were bearing much fruit. Fruit, when it's produced, is not so that it can nourish the plant itself. It's so it can nourish the things around it. That's what fruit is there for. The apple tree doesn't make apples so that it can eat the apples later. It just doesn't sit there munching on apples. It makes apples because I like them. That's not exactly why. God made apples so that they could make apples because I like them. And he likes me. That's the reality of that. But, man, I lost my train of thought. So these people were gifted and they gave me encouragement as I went through school. And the interesting thing about it is that as I was encouraged to do what God had already placed on my heart, and I hadn't experienced encouragement before in my life, I realized that instead of being the dummy that I was in grades kindergarten through grade 5, you know how many times I've been held back? Twice. Can I tell you that I've been held back twice, not because I'm a dummy, but because there was a lack of opportunity for encouragement within my life? I can tell you that very specifically. Can I tell you that as a church, as we're coming into the idea of unity at some point in this message, that each one of us, as we begin to administer our gifts and use them and begin to exhort and encourage other people and use that amazing word from this morning about affirmation, as we begin to affirm each other's gifts, we're going to bear more fruit. And not only that, we're going to be the ones producing fruit. We're also going to help other people use the giftings that they have. As I got encouraged in that place, I found a place of people where I felt safe, and I felt an environment where I could come in, and I felt encouraged every time I stepped into class. And as I stepped into class, I learned that I'm not a dummy. I'm actually kind of smart, and there's things that God has given me, and I do math really weird. But at the same time, there was an opportunity for me to know that I'm actually a smart person and that God created me that way. It's a lot of maybe pride in some weird way, but whatever. The reality is that as we go through our lives, there's been places and moments and areas where we've stepped into, and we need people to start talking life into us, because if we don't start talking life into each other, we don't have that opportunity to be encouraged and walking in that. I've experienced that specifically firsthand in my life. And as we do that, we begin to use the gifts that we have. Did you know that there's some people that will speak lies over another person, and because they spoke those lies, a person will never try that ever, and they might be gifted in that thing? They might be actually gifted in that thing. They might actually know how to do it. This Christmas, before we started the Christmas service, Jessica said, "You should sing with me," and I went, "No." Then she got me to start to sing with her, and she actually said, "You're not bad." I don't actually still know if I'm good. Somebody else can tell me that. But the reality is I actually started to enjoy it and walk in it, and now I'll sit in my office sometimes, and I'll sing to myself like a yuppie. I call it yuppie. It's actually wonderful and beautiful. I'm sure God loves it. But to me, it feels weird because it's not my natural. But it's because I felt like I was discouraging. Those were voices that were spoken over me. And as the church, we're meant to be a place of health and development. But sometimes we can be just like school. We got to remind ourselves to get out of there. So, all these gifts were given. They're amazing. Let's talk about the body. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. The whole body of Christ is one whole body. Can I tell you that some people need to start working and moving in those gifts that they have, because the body really needs to start doing what it's supposed to be doing. That's how we get unified and do what God's doing in our lives. But here, let's keep going. Some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we all have been baptized into one body by one Spirit, that we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if there were only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can never say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. The parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require the special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care is given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each one of you is part of it. Here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church. First, the apostles. Second, the prophets. Third, the teachers. Then, those who do miracles. Those who have the gift of healing. Those who can help others. Those who have the gift of leadership. Those who speak in unknown languages. Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. So, you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. But now let me show you a way of life that is best of all. You see, each one of these gifts that we see, each one of the gifts that we are shown in this are meant specifically to do certain things. It shows us that we all belong. As we're part of the body, we all belong. So can I challenge you that if there's ever a spirit that comes within the church that wants to kick somebody out because they don't belong, that doesn't belong. We all belong to this body. And none of us are useless. I wish I had told myself this a long time ago, but there are moments within my life I've heard the voice say, disqualified or useless or unable, and God has made me able every single time I needed to. If you've had that, say amen. I've had moments in my life where I've needed to be reminded that I am not useless, but I am useful, and I am useful for the one who has created me, who is greater than everything. All parts are gifted with special and diverse gifts. You know what's amazing is that we don't all have to be the same. I love this. We're not meant to be the same. We're meant to be diverse. We're all meant to have different gifts and abilities. And you know what's challenging is sometimes you get married to somebody with very different personality who's crazy different than you, and you get to learn that firsthand, that they are beautiful and wonderful and they are better than you, at least at 50 to 100% of other things. And you need them. 50 is on the low end, 100 is obviously the case. But the reality is just like a relationship and a marriage, we are all connected together. And we have an opportunity to walk in unity together. But we need to remember that each one of our gifts is diverse. And we need to call those gifts out of each other. We just did a gifts inventory with our youth group the other day. And remember, like, we can walk down the aisles right now and I can say, hey, what are your gifts right now? What are your spiritual gifts? And you can say, I think they're this. There was a gifts inventory once that I did, and this is what it said about me. Can I say that that's just dumb? Can I openly say that out loud right now? Can I tell you that if we've done gifts inventories, if we've spent the time, done the 150 million questions that you have to do for one of those silly things, and realize that we have the gift of this, and you're not operating in this, and being assured that this is what you have as a gifting, you need to start operating in it. Like yesterday. As we walk in these things, we need to minister. I need you. Can I say, just out of very selfishness, I need you. The rest of us actually do need you to operate in the gifts that you have. And if you're not operating in those gifts, or you're still wondering and scratching your head, we as a church need to start to pray about those things. And I know specifically in this church, we have pipeline services where we watch and wait on the Holy Spirit to come upon those individuals that come into this space, and we begin to minister in those spaces. And those that have faith, if they began to pray over these people that may or may not have faith for looking for these things, guess what might happen? They might begin to walk in their gifts. How beautiful is that? The interesting thing is that sometimes we think one is weaker or indispensable. One is important or not important. One is given honor and the other one shouldn't be given honor. One is unpresentable and one is treated with modesty or all of these different things that the gifts are given, but here's the reality is that Christ told us there is a better way. There's something so much greater than this, and it's in 1 Corinthians 13, and it says this. If I could speak all the languages of the earth, I'd love to do that, by the way, and of angels, even cooler, but don't love each other, I will only be a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but don't have love for others, I could do nothing. If I give everything that I have to the poor and even sacrifice my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Because the reality is when we come into unity, if we're not doing it for the vine, we're not doing it at all. Nothing's going to happen based off of the idea that you did something special. Something's going to happen when we collectively can be edified and built up together in that. If the body's not growing, nobody's growing. This is what love is. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. And it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith. It's always hopeful. It endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. When I was a child, I spoke and I thought and I reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, like a puzzling reflection in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. Three things last forever: faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. So we have the vine. We have the branches. We have the fruit that's in our life. We have the gardener that's pruning back everything in our lives. But the reality is that the power of unity is not found in what we can do. The power of unity is God at work in us. Can I challenge us tonight? Can I challenge us very specifically tonight to just do three simple things? And maybe I could have done that. We could have been done a long time ago. God wants us to love each other. God wants us to show loving care for each other. And what that looks like, what love is it's patient. What love is it's kind. I think the power of unity is when the church can begin to manifest the things that God wants to do within it. And it doesn't make any church any better than any other church. We need to stay in our lane. We need to be where we are called. And if we're not doing gloriously crazy things as a church, that's okay. Because as long as we're staying connected to the vine and we're loving each other, we're going to stay unified and God is going to be glorified. So it's really simple tonight, but also really challenging. I just encourage you. I encourage you to continue to look to each other, give affirmation to each other, pour love over each other, and recognize with wonder. Can I challenge us to recognize with wonder? I'll call Pastor Jason and the team in. But recognize with wonder what God is doing in each one of us. And not point to each other and begin to say, look what you're able to do, but look what God's able to do in you. And to be able to just turn circle right around and produce the fruit that we have in our lives. Because each one of us, I guarantee you, each one of us as we come to this church will be so much more filled if we have somebody who shows us love. Somebody who brings us joy. Somebody who's patient with us when we need it. Somebody who shows kindness to us when we need it. Somebody who's walking in each one of these fruits is going to bring about harmony and unity. Because I think what God is calling us to do is not to be the same as each other. That's not what unity is. Unity is harmony. Harmony is different than being the same. Harmony is about doing something that you're called to be and being diverse and being organic in what God is calling you to do in your own lives. Let me just pray as we close out this service. Dear God, I just thank you for tonight. I thank you for this idea of unity. And I pray, Lord God, that as we continue to move to next week and the week after and the week after, Lord God, that as we think about this word, as we think about the idea of this vine and the branches, we think about the idea that the church is meant to be a place that's different. I pray, Lord God, that we would be showing ourselves as different. Not set apart because we're great, but set apart because we serve a great God. I pray, Lord God, that you would just define our steps, define our movements, define what we're doing here as a church, as those that love one another, those that love those that come into this building, Lord God. Help us to be protected. Help us to care. Help us to honor each other. Help us to continue to point to each other as your creation and see what the marvelous things that you're doing in each one of us, so that ultimately you can be given the glory and the honor and the praise that you're due. I just pray, Lord God, build in us unity. Help us to see the potential in each other and love it so much that we can start to encourage each other to walk in the gifts that we've been given. I pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.